Hello and good afternoon, and welcome to the February 8th edition of Lambda Weekly. I'm Laurent Landis here with the very on-time Patty Fink.
Thank you.
David Taffet is not here this week. He is in Denver.
For Creating Change.
For Creating Change, and we're looking very much forward to a report about that when he comes back. We do have some great guests today. Activist Kenan Flowers and Rafiq Saleh Flowers. I love the sound of that.
Thank you.
I'm sure Kenan loves the sound of that, too. and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the issues facing the LGBT elders community and some immigration issues. But before we get to that, got to remind everybody, it is Pledge Drive. We need you to give us a call and make a pledge. The number is 972-647-1893. Again, it's 972-647-1893. We have some great giveaways this week. One, I'm excited to go see this. It's called Shadows of Liberty. It's next month. It's at the Texas Theater on West Jefferson in Dallas, and it's going to have a host of fabulous speakers. Danny Glover will be there. Daniel Ellsberg, Dan Rather, Amy Goodman, Dick Gregory. I would love to see Dick Gregory. And John Nichols. I mean, just a whole, and a lot of other people. So it's going to be a great show talking about censorship and journalists and activists and just a range of issues. So again, and a pledge of $35 will get you two tickets. That's a steal.
Two tickets to that.
Yeah. Oh, so wow. You know, again, $35 gets you a pledge, and we'll get you to see that show next month. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. What do you got over there, Patty?
You'd have to like Daniel Ellsberg. You have to be of a certain age. Do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm. And I guess I just told on myself.
Yeah,
because I know who he is.
Think Pentagon Papers.
Yes.
From the Vietnam War.
Uh huh. And who doesn't know Dan Rather?
Right.
Talking about the epitome of journalists. So, I mean, and as far as actors, Danny Glover. I would love to see him.
And Amy Goodman used to follow us when we were on Wednesday mornings.
I did not know that.
It's Democracy Now! You know, she would follow right after us.
That's right. Because I was the late Patty Fink then.
Yes, you were.
I had to work during the week. So I would always run around 7:30 or something. So, but yeah, give us a call and get those tickets. Again, only $35 for two of those tickets. And we have our other usual giveaways. Of course, the apron that Patty likes.
I love the K&O apron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's gonna be spring and summer soon.
It feels like it already is today.
It is.
It's gorgeous out there.
And if you get your apron, you know, you pledge and get your apron now, then you'll be all set when it comes up. And I believe that's a $40 pledge.
Mm-hmm.
You call 972-647-1893. And again, that's 972-647-1893.
One more time, 972-647-1893. We know you appreciate community radio and everything that it stands for. Specifically Lambda Weekly. We've been here for 31 years. Help us make it 32.
Yep, absolutely.
So we like to brag that we're the longest running, oldest LGBT radio show anywhere in the nation. We have yet to be proven wrong. So let's just keep that going. Again, give us a call at 972-647-1893 and make a pledge. Kenan, Rafiq, welcome. It's been a while.
Yes, it has been.
One of the things we talk about in the LGBT community is everything but growing old.
Yes.
And if we're lucky, we'll all get there.
Uh-huh. As the old joke goes, the alternative is not so good.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But since we don't talk about it that much, we don't really think about what happens when we start to get in our later years and some of the challenges that faces us.
Yeah.
What are some of those, Kenan?
Well, the whole topic of getting old, it is very interesting. There's two spectrums. Within our community, we've got the young, and we've had Youth First Texas, and we've all been focused on our young people for several years. And that program was once a standalone program. It's now part of the Resource Center. And I personally have always been amazed at how much support that program was actually getting. I mean, we can all relate. We can relate to being young. We can relate to coming out. We can relate to bullying. The biggest challenge that we've had with our aging project is none of us have been there yet.
Right.
We may know somebody. We may have a parent that we've watched, but we've not personally gone through it. So for the last 3 years, it's been a huge challenge to get people to pay attention to it. And in fact, Patty, I was talking to Aaron within the last couple of weeks, and Aaron was actually the one that mentioned, we just never thought we would get old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a simple statement, but it's true. Mm-hmm.
I think all people think that they're always 25. I mean, no matter what your age, you think of yourself as 25.
Right. Yeah, and you know, the person never ages; it's just the body that ages. Mm-hmm. And that's really true. And what's interesting too, if you spend any time with very young people, I was with my great niece this past week, mm-hmm. who is 18 years old. She thinks I have always been this age. I have always been this age.
But we do. We think of older relatives as right. Like, you don't like, know them in their youth.
Yeah, because we think they've never aged.
Yeah.
I mean, they were never young.
Right.
Right. So, no, but you're right, Patty. We always think we're on 25 because I tend to forget it too, but then I'm quickly reminded when I'm chasing a six-year-old around the house.
Yeah.
And I can't catch her. And I'm like, oh, I'm not 25, 24 anymore. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But are there any unique issues that the LGBT community faces when we become older that the general population does not really need to be concerned about?
Yes, there is. And a little over 2 years ago, what I did was I set out to try to understand what those unique aspects of our community was. And we put a survey out to the community in North Texas, the LGBT community in North Texas. We got a little over 200 responses.
It's pretty good.
It's a good sample size. It's a very good sample size. And the survey was broken into you could respond, and then in certain parts there were narrative responses that you could make. But what floated to the top in all of this analysis and survey results, housing and companionship, if you had to boil the whole thing down. And housing being many in the community want strictly a LGBT project that they could live in. Many, not the majority, but many.
You mean like an LGBT nursing home or assisted living?
Yes, progressive living center. Mm-hmm. And but that was not the majority, which surprised me when we started compiling the results. What the majority wanted was a place they could go to and their diversity be respected, and they could live in a community of equality. So there have been homes in the United States owned by the LGBT community, not the community themselves, but members of the community that were strictly gay or lesbian, and those have not always been successful. Mm.
Are there any that you know of? I think I read somewhere that Arizona had one.
There was once a successful one in New Mexico.
Okay.
And that one has since shut down.
Mm.
But
almost like a lesbian bar, a women's bar.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah, and you would think, you know, like the retirement capital or capital in the United States of Florida, that there would be at least one.
Yes, you would. But, you know, my good friend Louise Young always reminds me that everything that we do in Dallas, it's truly a unique approach. And, I mean, it is. I mean, if you look at any projects that we've taken on, many times we cannot use the national average because there's the unique thinking of the Dallas way of how we do things.
We're very organized here. I mean, if you were to zoom out and look at most of the communities around the country, the LGBT communities, in major cities even.
Right.
We do stand out as a very organized community.
Yes. And so that leads me to what I had hoped in compiling these results, that we could build support in the community. We could explore options of housing, whether it would be we go buy a once occupied apartment complex converted to a progressive or rehab center or assisted living or whatever. Second idea was perhaps we do an equality study of all the existing and work with North Texas Fair Housing, work with the Senior Source, partner with some of the other organizations. Those are some of the options that we've considered, but we have not done those. Robert Embry, on the other hand, and what's thrilling about what Robert has done is, while all this was going on, and Robert and I have been in conversations for 3 years, 2 years, he has quietly on his own gone out and just investigated property, looked at property, considered property, of establishing not a huge facility, but within a smaller city ordinance of shared housing, so 16 occupants maximum. I found that fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that is a true example of how we do things in Dallas. Someone just goes off and does it, and Robert has done it. Robert saw the need, which was so encouraging to me, because I was advised by many in our community when these results came in to work closely with the Resource Center. Anything you do, Cannon, go to the Resource Center, work with the Resource Center. This needs to be under the umbrella of the Resource Center. Some of the responses, verbal or oral, narrative responses we got even said, perhaps this should be under the Resource Center. We gave the Resource Center the first chance to set up a program specifically to more than just social programs for the aging in our community. Those social programs that the Resource Center has done are wonderful. Shelley Hamilton has done a great job, but the needs that were revealed in this study are much bigger than social interactions on a Friday night.
And I suspect some of those needs would be maybe to help a senior pick up their medication.
Yes.
Go get groceries.
Yes.
And or even just to make sure they get a warm or hot meal every day. Whatever happened to Meals on Wheels? Does that still exist?
It does.
It does.
It does. And you're right. I mean, coordinating with Meals on Wheels and with the Visiting Nurses Association, senior, there's so much that needs to be done to leverage off of the infrastructure that's already there. And it's going to take people with the mindset of Robert Emery and me and several of us who will actually go out and create these programs. If you look at setting up a home with 16 residents, what could very well happen is you'll start clamping programs on top of that. Social programs to where it in 2 years, 5 years could be a totally self-contained facility and leveraging these other organizations to be successful.
I would imagine part of one of the challenges that LGBT seniors have that are heterosexual counterparts do not all of them, is that most of us don't have children.
Yeah.
And yet many do.
And many do. Many do.
I mean, something like 40% of LGBT people have children.
And so it's a higher rate than what you would think.
Well, and they have nieces and nephews, too.
That, too.
And we have progress socially to where it's okay to come out to a niece or a nephew. I mean, that was part of the problem, too, 15, 20 years ago, is you may have a niece or nephew, but you may not be out to that part of the
family. Well, you may not be out to that niece or nephew, and more than likely, if that's your niece or nephew, your brother or sister, that means they have aged also.
Yes.
And that niece or nephew is probably taking care of them.
Yes.
So that takes attention away from them.
Yes.
Also, and here's the probably even bigger than having kids, and that is having a legal partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up until recently, and still in the state of Texas, they didn't recognize it, but marriage equality. So for years, you may have spent 30, 40, 50 years with a loved one, but when you go to a nursing home, they may not let your same-sex partner mm-hmm. come in and share a room with you or even visit, mm-hmm. you know. So I would assume that's another challenge.
Yes, it is.
And that may be, in fact, the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it were true today that if you felt a security in aging to a time in your life when you may need such facilities and could go and get them, then this might not even be an issue. But the very fact that discrimination still exists today, and it could be not even just a policy of the facility. It could
right.
be the cultural atmosphere within the facility. They may say it on paper, but it's not very real in
right.
person.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that you maybe couldn't bring your partner, you couldn't both be there together.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many issues that center on that discrimination that prevent people from really taking advantage of existing programs.
Absolutely. And mentioning challenges, we have a challenge today. We need you to call in at 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893, and help us raise some money here at Lambda Weekly. Help us reach that year, that magic year of 32 years of on the air.
That's right. That means we have to last till August.
Yes.
Keep us on the air.
Keep us at least, and more, for now to August.
We want to thank Aaron for a pledge, and we also want to thank the wonderful former Dallas City Council member and former first executive director of the Dallas Arts District, Valletta Lill, for generous pledge and donation. So
wonderful.
Join these wonderful people and with your pledge at 972-647-1893. Give us a call during the break. Doc is standing by. 972-647-1893.
Again, 972-647-1893. We'll be right back with more of our guests, Kenan Flowers and Rafiq Salih Flowers.
You and I listen to the Lambda Week on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas.
Welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Laurent Landis here with the late, but today the very on time, Patty Fink.
Thank you.
We do have a great guest today, Kenan Flowers and Rafiq Salih Flowers. We'll get back with them in just a moment. We want to remind you it is Pledge Drive. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893. And there's several different ways to pay. What are some of those ways, Patty?
You can pay by check. You can make your pledge today and then send a check in. You can call and leave us your credit card number, and we'll get that in the next probably 2 to 3 weeks. We'll get that. You'll see that done. You can also text KNON to 56512. It'll give you a form to fill out right there on the text, and you can also do a bank draft, which I think is the easiest way to contribute, and that is to call in today with your pledge and say you want to do a bank draft, and we'll take enough information so that our station manager can get back with you, and then he'll call and set it up with you. And you can do $10 a month, $20 a month, $100 a month, and pretty soon you won't even notice that it's gone.
You won't.
You know?
And all the while you'll be helping KNON, and more specifically, Lambda Weekly.
Yep.
So we would very much appreciate that.
And you can do that by calling 972-647-1893.
That's 972-647-1893. We do have another great giveaway, and that is there's a film festival coming up. It's called the Thin Line. Actually, it's a film and music festival. It's called the Thin Line Film Music Photo Festival, and that will be in Denton from February 19th to the 22nd. You can get a pledge of $100, get you a 2-day pass. And that, if you've ever been to a film festival, it's just great because you can see as many films as you want. And these are also mostly documentaries. And they have some great music lined up, some great performers from Black Joe Lewis, Joe Eli, Devin the Dude, and Blue the Misfit. I haven't heard of some of these, but I'm sure they're great bands. So it sounds like a lot of fun, and all of this is going to take place on the campus of UNT. So in some places of downtown of Denton. And that's actually kind of a cool spot if you've been up there. So, again, 972-647-1893. And go ahead and get those two-day passes to that film festival. You'll have a good time. 972-647-1893. Just before the break, we were talking with Cannon Flowers regarding aging in the LGBT community and some of those challenges.
Now, I understand, Cannon, and I remember so very well, like it was yesterday, when you and I went to the White House together, also with another Dallasite, Kay Gooch, at the invitation of Sarah Scanlon, who was with at that time with Wellstone Action.
Right.
And we were able to go, and we met in the executive office building, and then they brought us over to the White House, and we had to do, of course, all of the check-in to go
right,
and all of that. And you're about to do that again.
I am.
You're going to go this week,
yes,
in fact, and talk about LGBT aging specifically. So tell us a little bit about what's going to happen in D.C. and what you're hoping that will be accomplished.
Okay. I do leave tomorrow and to D.C., and I'll be with Tina Patterson, our good friend, who is very active in many equality issues and lives in D.C., came down last year for our wedding. And, in fact, tomorrow night she's taking me to a junior league meeting in D.C. And I have enormous respect for the junior league. I mean, these women are serious about their social issues. So I'm excited that Tina's dragging me to that. But then the next morning, 8:30 at the White House, and the whole day will be spent on listening to LGBT housing issues for the aging members of our community on a national level. I was talking to you, Laron, before the program. The wonderful thing about this president is he truly understands so many nuances of equality. And the best way to learn more about it is to invite people who have been exposed to it, who have done studies like we've done here in North Texas, and just listen. What are the real challenges that we're facing on housing? And the whole day is pure housing, LGBT housing for the aging. And as I have already mentioned too, with housing on top of that's going to be the social issues in support of those who are living in that housing, transitional housing. So I have several objectives, but primarily I know what we're doing here, but I want to hear what everybody else is doing. I want to see what we can learn and bring back here, see if there's anything that we could even invite possibly other organizations to come in and help us. There's an organization that many know, SAGE, who has done considerable work in this area, who will be at the summit as well.
And what is SAGE?
SAGE is an organ. I don't know what that
is. Oh, okay. It's Services and Advocacy for the LGBT Elders.
Yes. And they have done enormous research into the needs of this particular demographic. So I'm looking forward to their participation and what we may be able to leverage from them. I do know that the Resource Center has met with SAGE before and explored the possibility of bringing some of their programs to North Texas.
Is it mainly in New York right now?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And I know Robert Emery is part of that, and we want to thank Robert. He just called with the pledge.
Oh, thank you,
so
Robert.
So thank you so much, Robert, and you can do the same at 972-647-1893. It's 972-647-1893, and we'll gladly thank you on the air. So give us a call.
I want to mention on this survey that we did too, I've mentioned the transitional living, but a couple of the other ranking items from that survey is a program that would partner people together, a mentor, a buddy, that sort of program. That's critical. We've got people in our community who they are alone, and while we don't, all of us function better on some kind of procedure or structure. And if you can sign up to be a mentor, sign up to be a buddy, go through some training to recognize certain situations where someone may be in stress, may be in need that you might not have even recognized. Those are the trainings that we need to get in place. And that was the number two item that came on our survey was a program that would promote lifelong friends. The third one was social events.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth is medical consultation and education. So, again, I'm hoping from the summit, people who are further down this road possibly have already developed many of these programs as well.
You know, earlier we were talking about some of the differences between what GLBT elders versus, you know, the general population might need. And on your list, you just mentioned a few, you know, program that will promote lifelong friends. But further down, I found this one to be interesting, and that's grief counseling.
Yes.
Whether you go to professional counseling or not when you love someone, or when a loved one has lost, whether it be a partner, a child, whatever, as you're older in age, you may not have, well, I think a lot of people in the general population have family to go to.
Correct.
And a lot of times we do not.
Correct.
So that is a big one.
Correct. And grief can be, you can grieve a lot of things and a lot of people and a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dealing with any sort of isolation, discrimination, inequality, grief is the normal even response to that. And that's where we need to get very smart and start seeing that sort of behavior. The one area that really does concern me is someone in our community who possibly needs, we dealt with the HIV issue in Dallas and in North Texas very well. We jumped on it. We're still very supportive of AIDS organizations who are helping HIV patients. But what concerns me is that you could possibly today have an older member of our community go off of their medication and get to a point of almost no return before any of us even realize that it's happening.
Right.
And it has happened. And we know who it's happened to. And shame on any of us for letting that happen. But until we've got structures in place, it's going to keep happening.
Have you spoken, or I know you were, your study was to what do people in the GLBT community think is important? What are some of the important needs? But have you ever spoken to any the senior citizens in the GLBT community about what their actual experiences have been? Like maybe in the nursing home, assisted living, or just, you know, trying to get help as an openly GLBT person?
Well, yes. We have talked to some who have visited facilities on the pretense that a parent was gay or lesbian,
mm-hmm.
To see what sort of response they might get or care they might get. And to your face, of course, the responses that we're getting, you know, is very favorable. But I personally, if I were in that situation, a year and a half ago, I myself was very sick. If I did not have Rafiq and my son as advocates for me, I can't imagine the terror that any of us would go through.
Right.
Who truly know us, who truly know our orientation. And so that's what we need to raise an incredible amount of awareness on. My frustration in this particular area, we do have organizations that I mentioned are focused on HIV, who are focused on helping any of us if we get into an economic situation of not eating and such. We really need to get serious about raising awareness on this issue of aging.
Because it happens to all of us.
It does happen to all of us.
If we're lucky and we last that long. Yeah.
Right.
I know a lot of people look, they frown about getting old. Like, hey, if you're lucky to get that, that's much, much more life experience.
Right.
Oh, as a friend of mine once said, I want to be a crone.
Yeah, I'm right there. Yeah.
I want to be an old crone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
But the Resource Center has told me within the last 2-3 weeks that while there's a lot of interest, there's not a lot of support.
Right.
And I don't believe that. I think The only way that you build support is to put a program in place, and you may have to ragtag it a while, but you'll get support.
Let's build it and they will come.
Exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I do believe that. And that's why I have so much respect for what Robert's doing. I mean, just go get a facility, and we'll build it as we go along. And something else that I have seen and agree with and have been told is the gay community is very good at creating programs that they may start gay or, to the gay and lesbian population, but it ends up serving everyone because we're good at it.
Right.
We're good at recognizing the need and putting the processes in place to make it work.
And, you know, straight people can come down and watch Mommy Dearest together.
Exactly.
With us.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. Right.
And they can come down and play gay bingo with us.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely.
Why not?
Right. And I think, too, you know, this is kind of interesting with this, with our community the way it is today. Many people who are in their 80s and 90s who are, you know, with it, and they need a place to commune and to live and thrive, lived in an age when they didn't come out.
Oh, yeah.
They lived in an age, and they were young. They had their youth as a gay man or a gay woman. At a time when they were, you know, lots of shame was directed to them if they did come out, and maybe lost a lot of family connections, and so it's even more vital today. I mean, I see some of us as we age and we get to that place, which will be many, many years for me.
Of course, Patty.
I'm right there with you, Patty.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm not banking on that anytime soon. But when we come to the fore, I think we'll be maybe a little more equipped because we've had a little more equality in our in a larger percentage of our lives than many who face that today.
And I was thinking about that very thing, Patty, this morning. I do have several young people, and young people, I mean, people my children's age, you know, 30, 33, who are very interested in this program. And the good thing about that is if we can get this stuff worked out, I mean, those kids are are going to be there someday, too. So the infrastructure that we build today, I mean, it'll carry it forever from henceforth. And no matter what group demographic you're from, when you get to the point of age and you need help, you just want to make sure that somebody's watching out, and you're not going to suffer due to inequality of any, regardless of where you're from. So.
Right. Just a few moments ago, you mentioned, you know, when you were having some health issues, person right by your side was your husband.
That's right.
Rafi.
That's right.
Thank God for that. You know, for those who don't know, I did, when I announced his name, I did say Rafi Saleh Flowers. It used to be just Saleh, but now it's Saleh Flowers.
That's right.
You guys are coming up, or did it just pass your 1 year anniversary?
Just passed.
So,
hey, congratulations.
So, congratulations. So, you guys technically aren't newlyweds anymore.
Well, you know what's interesting in the gay community? I have three anniversaries.
Yes, we do.
Three anniversaries.
I have so many.
I have to explain the three.
The anniversary of when we met, because before we had any recognition, that's all you had.
Right.
The day we met. Okay, then we legally got married in San Francisco.
Okay.
And then we had our public commitment ceremony here in
Dallas.
See, and Aaron and I have several more. We haven't been married yet, because we're still holding out for Texas. But we have even other dates that we recognize, because we were friends for many years before we
got
together. So we have a date when we got together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we recognize as our anniversary. Mm-hmm. I can't even probably name the date we met. You know, I don't know when we have that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's interesting that we make our own.
We make our own along the way. And that's kind of the fun of it.
Yeah.
You don't have to follow tradition. Do it how you want to do it. Exactly. But we have one date, and that's the day we got married. It's also it's our anniversary day also, and we planned our wedding on that date. So, you know,
so you have two. You have an anniversary when you were together or when you met?
When we were officially together.
Okay.
And so we got married on that date. So.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was 10.
We should have done that.
I mean, it's like, that's just too many days to remember.
More presents.
More presents. This is true. This is true.
See, and Rafik had a plan.
Had a plan. Had a plan. And here at Cane & Wynn, we need more presents.
Yes,
give us a call at 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893. We still have our usual giveaways like a Cane & Wynn baseball cap, which are always cool to have.
T-shirts,
aprons. I mean, we also have some great gifts to give away. So, again, give us a call at 972-647-1893.
We have a Valentine's Day's night with Igor and the Red Elvises, with belly dancers and a performance by Buck Wild and the Pistolettes. That's at 7:30 at and with dinner from Fork in the Road. Doors open at 7. That's going to be at the show starts at 8 p.m. There'll be roses and chocolates for the first 50 ladies. And I presume that if you're a gay couple, a lesbian couple, that would be roses for two ladies.
Yes.
So it benefits Cane & Wynn, and that'll be this Saturday, February 14th, at Poor David's Pub, 1313 South Lamar in Dallas. So if you would like to have two tickets, we have two pairs to give away. $50 gets you a pair of tickets, or $75 gets you a pair of tickets and a T-shirt, hat, or the apron.
The apron.
At 972-647-1893. 972-647-1893.
And one more time, 972-647-1893. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Jason Wright from Dallas, and I listen to Lambda Week 89.3K.
Welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm LaRon Landis here with Patty Fink, the late Patty Fink, and she proved today she's not dead. She's not dead.
I'm not dead at all.
Because she actually got here on time.
And by the way, after I age and I pass, I'm still doing the show.
You're still doing
Just so you know.
Then we really can't stay the late Patty Fink. We do want to remind everyone it is pledge drives. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. We have some fabulous gifts that we're giving away this week, and I encourage you to take advantage of them. Again, Patty, right before the break, mentioned a Valentine's Day special.
Yep, Valentine's Day night with Igor and the Red Elvises. Lots going on. It'll be at Poor David's Pub at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7. We have two pairs of tickets for that. So $50 gets you a pair of tickets to the Valentine's Day night. And $75 gets you a pair of tickets and a T-shirt, hat, or apron. And then the very next day, we have the Cane & Wynn 14th Annual Mardi Gras Gumbo Party.
Now, that is always an event.
Oh, it's tremendous. The doors open at 5. They'll be serving gumbo from 5 to 7 p.m. at Poor David's Pub.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a weekend at Poor David's Pub. So there'll be gumbo from Amberjack's Fish Market Grill. So have and Chef Chris Lalonde will be from El Centro's Culinary Arts Program will be there. Pierre's Mardi Gras Cafe, 27, Henry's Majestic, and Cat Mendenhall. So it'll be live music from Grammy Award winner from Louisiana, Chubby Carrier, and the Bayou Swamp Band. So live music starts at 7:15 and goes on till 10. So a great way to celebrate Mardi Gras right here in Dallas. You can go to Valentine's Day on Saturday, come to the Cane & Wynn 14th Annual Mardi Gras Gumbo Party, eat some great gumbo, hear some great live music, and celebrate Mardi Gras right here in Dallas.
And even though you're getting some great gifts out of this, your money is going towards the station, more specifically Lambda Weekly, and you're helping us. You're helping community radio stay alive and well, and we know you love it because you listen to it all the time. So give us a call at 972-647-1893.
972-647-1893.
All right, now let's get back to our newlyweds, Cannon Flowers and Rafik Saleh Flowers. Now, I jokingly say, newlyweds, but you guys have been together how long?
19 years.
19 years.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
When I grow up, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
I'm not far behind, but 19 years, that's awesome. So next year, it'll be 20. So, okay, now, for those who don't know, Rafik is from Singapore.
That's correct.
And
he came from Texas, can you tell?
And right. And though they got married last year, now another big day. Now, it's another day you're going to have to celebrate.
Yeah.
Another big day is coming up.
See,
and that's
Rafik's laughing because he's day.
More presents. Right, more presents. And that's the day that we all see on TV, and we always see it in a kind of a joking way on TV, and that is the big immigration interview. And so talk about that. I know you haven't experienced it yet, but what have they told you? What's going to happen? And what's the purpose of this interview?
Well, let me just say before you answer that you guys helped found immigration equality in this country.
Correct.
Yes,
you did.
It's a tremendous organization. We just had someone from Immigration Equality on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
So kudos to you. And I, when you know, like the big consummation of all of this work is going to be when you're a full citizen, Rafiq, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So take it away. Let's hear about your what you anticipate.
Well, a lot of the preparation comes with pulling all this information that they need, whether it's to prove that we've been together for a certain amount of time.
Well, tell them what we're doing.
Well, we have the immigration interview this coming Friday at 10 o'clock.
It's a green card interview.
It's a green card interview.
And I'm so excited. So I'm like pulling all this information at home, you know, all this lease agreement that we've signed, all the paperwork, like the assets we have, pictures. They even won like
pictures. Wherever are you going to get pictures?
Oh, no, wait. Let me tell you. Let me tell you.
It's Throwback Thursday's not there.
Let me tell you. I am like thoroughly impressed. I thought we did a good job of like.
Oh, an album.
Oh, it's not just an album. That's like, you know, that's like PowerPoint 101. That's awesome.
This is just like 0.0002%.
Yes.
I have four of those.
The general purpose of an immigration interview for a married couple when one of those persons is from another country is to prove that you are not fraudulent. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So as part of your proof, you have to bring documents, photos, et cetera, et cetera.
Or affidavits.
Affidavits. Well, hold it up to the mic, Patty, so people can see. Rafiq has done a fabulous, impressive job of documenting their lives together. It is fabulous.
You can't help it. I mean, the fabulous is just oozes.
It really is. And I was flipping through it, and I go, like on page 3, if I were the person conducting this interview, I would just stop and go, okay, this is done. They're together. Let's move on to the next. So, but just, you know, seriously, though, this is nothing that's just a gay couple has to go through. All married couples who are a binational couple have to go through this, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Everyone goes through this. The burden of proof is on the couple to prove that it's a valid relationship and has some life to it, greater than 2 years.
And a marriage certificate, which we're fortunate to have now, that be able to obtain now between two people of the same gender, unfortunately, that's not enough alone.
Correct. Because you could, there are still fraudulent cases, and that's heterosexual or anybody could do that.
Right.
A staged green card. You just sort of have to pull the history together to prove, we've been together for a very long time.
Very long time.
And we've entered many legal arrangements together. Fortunately, too, our immigration service does enough background checking prior to this interview that I think they have a pretty good idea before you even get into the interview. The interesting thing about all of this, well, there's a couple of interesting things. I have done human rights work for 12 years, so I've seen many people go through the immigration process for asylum, for violence against women cases. And
for our listeners, you're the former executive director of the Human Rights Initiative.
Correct, of North
which
Texas.
Which does asylum cases.
But I have never been in this position that I actually had to prove anything. So to be a part of that, I'm enjoying it. I have a whole new appreciation for the process and what other people are going through.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting thing about this, I remember in the year 2000, and it was early in forming Immigration Equality, Gerald Nadler, the senator from the congressman from New York, filed on Valentine's Day the first Permanent Partners Immigration Act that went before Congress. Went immediately into subcommittee and we never heard from him again. But it was huge that you would even file a Permanent Partners Immigration Act. And we considered it a huge political success.
I thought it was exciting that we had co-sponsors and we had...
Yes, and every year continued to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to board meetings for immigration equality 2000, 2001, 2002. Gerald Nadler every year on Valentine's Day would refile that bill. And I used to tell Rachel Tibbins, who's former director there, this is so cheesy that we're doing this on Valentine's Day. But my interview, y'all, is the day before Valentine's Day this year.
Sure. Now, how did that happen?
Oh, the irony.
Did they send you paperwork and say, yes, this is your interview day?
Yes, they set up the day.
Really? Yeah. So it's not like you had any choosing in the matter?
No. Interesting. And so it's very likely that they will make their decision on Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's definitely another day that you're going to have to celebrate.
I need to write. Yeah, Congressman Nadler immediately and apologized for all of those years.
That's too. And do they make their decision that quick?
Usually.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's awesome.
The record, recently has been within 24 hours. You'll hear something.
So what does that mean? Because I think there's a lot of misconceptions about when somebody from another country marries an American. A lot of people, including myself, used to think that made them automatically an American. That's not the case. There's a green card. Could you explain the process?
Yeah, once you get the green card, I think you have to be here for at least 3 years in order to proceed to the citizenship. And
okay.
That's where you apply, and then you take the test. You have like 100 questions about the American history, and then you have to certain score a certain point. And then once you pass that, then you have to come in and give an oath and say. And of course, in Singapore, doesn't allow dual citizenship.
It does not.
A United States based on our relationship. So I guess I have to give up my citizenship based on that.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
So you're going to give up, renounce your previous citizenship? And
you don't have to make that decision.
No, I don't have to. I don't have to.
I'm sure Lincoln is listening.
Yes.
So once you get the green card, when do you take the test? 3 years later?
Yes.
Three. Okay. Okay. Well, you
just
got
to prove that you're here.
Just to prove you're okay.
And most U.S. citizens wouldn't be able to answer those 100 questions.
No
either.
Kidding.
Yes.
I remember a friend
Josh
of mine.
Josh is absolutely right.
A friend of mine was going through the citizenship test and had passed it and got citizenship. And we were talking about it. And then someone at the table said, I can answer any of the questions. Give me one of the questions. And they said, okay, name the three branches of government. Yeah. And he said, local, state, and national. We're like, fail.
Oh, that is too funny. Wow. Well, you guys are like a lot of, because marriage equality is still a new thing in some places. It's still not a thing, including here in Texas. Mm-hmm. And because of that, a lot of the couples who do choose to get married have been together already for a long time. That's the case with you all. That's the case in my situation. So when you got married legally, how does it feel? Do you feel different about your relationship? When you went home, did things feel different?
I've been asked that a lot, and I've thought about it a lot, and I do feel different. But I only feel different because we now have a president and we have a legal system that when I go to sleep at night, I don't worry quite as much. It's been...
Absolutely.
18 years of worry is what it's been.
Mm-hmm.
Because truly, I can tell you through from 2000 to in the last 4 years, 5 years, I really did not know where we were going to live.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we were going to have to go back to Singapore. I didn't know if we were going to Canada. I just knew that our commitment was to each other, wherever that may be.
Right.
And so that part's been unbelievably wonderful. It's also been a really urgent, let's get this done, let's get this taken care of. It's a whole lot more challenging to undo it than it is to do it, so let's do it and get it
right.
done.
But I also like the approach that I have now, the authoritative feel that, I can say, he's my husband. Or like
absolutely.
Pick up his prescription and say, oh, he's my husband. Before it was like, who is this person? And said, oh, well, he's my partner, but that doesn't really constitute anything in terms of legal matter. So when we're in the medical, hospitals or even like leasing agreements now, I can just say he's my husband. Yeah. So that feels like
he said it at the car dealership the other day.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. See,
yeah. And he said it with some glee.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Oh, this is
that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And you know, as you should, Rafiq. As you should. You know, and I'm not going to lie. It took me a long time to get out of calling Danny my partner. Yeah. And David would always correct me on air. It wasn't, of course, I'm not ashamed to be his husband. I'm not ashamed that he's my husband. It was just
right.
Habit.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. You kind of hold your head up a little higher. And, you know, you mentioned the things that you worry, not just the worry about, well, because I'm married to somebody from another country, just worry about things here in our own country.
Right.
If you were to get sick,
yeah.
Are they going to let him in the hospital?
Yeah.
Or if something happens to him, a whole slew of other things
right.
that same-sex couples worry about right. when you're not married.
Right.
Or when our marriages aren't recognized.
Yeah, and for anybody who's known us for any length of time knows that any time Rafiq has had to go back to Singapore for a visa renewal, you have to go back to the home country for that visa renewal. In those cases, he would sit there in Singapore up to 3 to 4 months waiting.
This is excruciating, but for both of you.
It is so painful because you really do not know what's going to happen. The last time this happened was 3 years ago. It was so bad. I actually had to get Eddie Bernice Johnson to help me just do a congressional inquiry just to see what is holding this up.
Love her.
Yeah.
Yep. And that was just on an entrepreneur visa renewal, you know, nothing like a work visa or student visa. It was like a 3 month process.
So when that happens, whose decision is it? Is it the home country's decision to give you the green card?
It's the U.S. Embassy.
It's the U.S.
Embassy.
So Homeland Security, they already issued their approval and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they send the instructions to the embassy, the U.S. Embassy in the home country. Then the U.S. Embassy will start their own vetting process again.
Oh, golly.
Oh, wow.
That seems like an enormous waste of resources to do everything twice.
And time and money, especially, you know, being an investor. Can you imagine if I have no resources here in the United States? I mean, my business would just go
fall apart.
Yeah.
Right.
So once you get this upcoming interview over with, that's it. You don't have to do it again.
Correct.
Good.
Correct.
Good.
Oh, that's exciting.
That's exciting.
Now, did you guys have frozen wedding cake in the freezer that you took out?
No, we did not do that.
No.
I
make my own cake, so I can
make new cake.
That's right.
Okay, well, guys, you got to promise to come back at some point and tell us how the interview went.
That'll be awesome.
Sure you'll get approved, of course.
And your trip to D.C.
I will.
And your trip to D.C.
I'll give you a full report on the White House on Tuesday.
All right.
Awesome.
If there's ever... Yeah.
You guys have a great week coming.
Yeah. If there's ever a couple I know that should be approved for marriage... It's you too.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thanks for coming on and sharing your stories with us. We are at the end of our show. It is Pledge Drive. You can still call. We want to thank Jeanette. Jeanette, thank you so much for your pledge.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Appreciate it. And it's still time to call. 972-647-1893. 972-647-1893. Doc is standing by. Josh and Chris are both standing by. All three are waiting to talk to you. 972-647-1893. Thanks again, Ken. Thanks again, Rafi. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here.